Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul, again, alongside Jeremy Espy. For the next hour and a half, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at Blog Talk Radio. .com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And get some email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Last show of the year, 2010. What a great year for everybody. I hope. Great year on the show. Go for it. And now we're going to end it with a guy who's been on the show numerous times, a friend to the show, the one, the only, the great Willie Rose, who will stop by and, again, talk about what he loves to talk about, which is the National Football League. So that should be an exciting time, talking with the great Willie Rose. And we're going to cover a lot tonight, and definitely going to be a lot of fun. Jeremy?
Paul, I mean, you must be a little nervous these days.
Why that?
Well, you know, it looks like the book is out on Michael Vick.
Possibly.
Maybe not. He's the weakness is still there, Paul.
And let's get to that game last night. I mean, you'll be surprised about my comments about this game and regarding this game. Number one, give the Minnesota Vikings a lot of credit, and Joe Webb, who came in and performed well and outplayed the great Michael Vick last night. I mean, he threw 495 yards, ran for one touchdown, and it did enough and played well enough to get the Vikings the victory. Also give a lot of credit to that Viking defense, which harassed and pressured Michael Vick all night long. And forced some turnovers there and ultimately helped them, the Minnesota Vikings, get the victory. But here's what I say about this game. The Eagles played bad, no doubt about it. They laid an egg, no doubt about it. No getting around that. But at the end of the day, this actually could be a blessing in disguise. And I know, hey, don't get me wrong, I'd love to have the bye week. I would love for the Eagles to have the bye. I would love for the Eagles to have that home playoff game in the divisional round. But you know what? What good is that if DeSean Jackson is banged up? What good is that if Michael Vick is banged up? What good is all that? The way I look at it, the last two games, the Eagles have not played good football. So we're all happy and excited by what they did that last 8 minutes against the New York Giants. But truth be told, this team didn't play well in that particular football game. And if it wasn't for a miraculous effort by Michael Vick, a miraculous effort by Tom Coughlin, by his poor coaching, and a miraculous effort by DeSean Jackson, this team would have lost, and this team probably would be struggling for their playoff lives at this point. But, obviously, I think if they would have lost last week against the Giants, they would have came in and beat the Vikings. No doubt about it. But the way I look at it, this is a blessing in disguise. Michael Vick, now you get to sit him down. DeSean Jackson, you get to sit him down. All the guys that are banged up, Asante Samuel, you get to sit him down. All the guys who are banged up now have an opportunity to rest. And even if they would have won these last two games, there's no guarantee they would have got the bye anyway because Chicago holds the tiebreaker, and if Chicago would have won those last two games, they would have been the number two seed.
But listen,
so
you're saying,
hear me
but you're
when
saying,
I say this is a blessing in disguise.
So you have
this
a brain.
Is a blessing in disguise.
So you have a brain. that what you're saying?
A beautiful mind.
No, I hate to admit this, Paul, but we actually may agree. It may not be a blessing. It's the best move for the Eagles because you're right. Now they've had to play this last game of the season for a chance at something rather than resting everybody and going into the playoffs healthier and stronger and refreshed. This is a bye week.
It's a poor man's bye week in a lot of ways, but a bye week nonetheless.
You're so funny. I'm glad we got that in there for you.
I mean, it definitely and clearly is a poor man's bye week for the Philadelphia Eagles. But like I said before, I mean, don't get me wrong. Again, I said this and I'll say it again. I would love for the Eagles to have won last night. I would love for the Eagles to win next week against the Dallas Cowboys. But I will say this. Even if they won those two games, there is a great chance that they still would not have been the number two seed and still would not have gotten a bye week. So with all that being said, now, instead of having to play what was going to be essentially three games in 12 days, they really only have to play two games in 12 days, which is a whole lot better of a scenario than the previous scenario, which would have been three games in 12 days. So, I mean, it was a bad loss. It was a bad performance. Guys didn't show up. I mean, Michael Vick took a beating last night. Didn't get much help from his offensive line last night, but he didn't play well either. Could have thrown at least four picks last night. There were four opportunities for the Vikings to get interceptions. They got one, but they could have got three more. So with all that being said, and looking
you believe the excuse that he said in the post game that he was hurt very early on?
Well, I mean, he said he was hurt the first play of the game, essentially. And
right
from that point on, I mean, it's an excuse, I guess, but how legitimate. I mean, everybody's hurting at this point in the season. Everybody's in pain at this point in the season. But Michael Vick needs some help, and that comes from the offensive line. The offensive line's got to help him out a little better than they did last night. I mean, he took a beating last night, got sacked six times, and took a whole bunch of other hits. So he took a beating last night, and it showed in his play. I mean, his play. He didn't play well last night. And again, like I said before, only had one interception, but very easily could have thrown four interceptions if some guys could catch the football. And they also fumbled the ball twice, one that led to a touchdown and one that stopped a scoring drive, a drive that if they would have held onto the ball, they would have at least gotten a field goal there, and that would have been helpful down the stretch. But they didn't get it done. And they lost the football game. And I was one who kind of was happy when this game was canceled and this game was moved to Tuesday night. From this perspective, I thought the Eagles were the better team. But also, I realized this, that the weather could have been the great equalizer. And then Eagles, albeit the more talented team, even though they didn't show it last night, but I think with the weather would have equalized the playing field and would have given the Vikings an advantage. But at the same time, I mean, I guess in hindsight, I guess if the game was played, maybe the Eagles would have won. Maybe these extra couple days took away some of the focus. Maybe the coming off that big victory against the Giants took away a little bit of the focus. But all in all, it was not a good football game by the Philadelphia Eagles. And they didn't play well at all. And hopefully, this bye week coming up against the Cowboys, which I refer to as a poor man's bye, this bye week coming up against the Cowboys will get this team healthy, this victory will get them focused, and this loss will get them focused, and this loss will get them ready to go to make that run in the playoffs, which will be a very interesting playoffs. And I've said this numerous times, but out of the six teams that are going to the playoffs, other than the NFC West participant, which will be either Seattle or the St. Louis Rams, those five teams have a legitimate shot to make it to the playoffs. And those five teams are the Packers or the Giants. You have the obviously the Saints, the Falcons, and you have teams and those teams who are legitimate championship contending teams. Legitimate, very legitimate.
Right, Paul?
It's almost like on any given Sunday type of deal. But if you look at it, you have the Bears, you have the Packers or the Giants who will be in, and then you have the Saints or the Falcons. Again, those teams, on any given Sunday, those teams could beat each other. And you know, granted, the home field for whatever team, right now it's the Falcons who will have home field throughout the playoffs in the NFC. But if you look at it, even though as a road team, you have a legitimate shot. And in today's NFL, every team has a flaw. Every team has a flaw. There's something about each of these teams that stinks. So with all that being said, there's a great opportunity for whoever. And it's going to be wide open. And if Michael Vick can play like the Michael Vick who put himself in a position as an MVP candidate, who has led this Eagles team to the record that they have, which is 10-5 at this point, if Michael Vick plays like the guy who's played throughout this season, then the Philadelphia Eagles have a legitimate shot to make it to the Super Bowl, a very, very legitimate shot. Because I think all these teams have a legitimate shot. But I'm talking now a very, very legitimate shot to make it to the Super Bowl. They have that shot. They have the shot.
Well, I mean, but in the NFC, Paul, I mean, honestly, if you really look at who's built to get to the NFC Championship, I mean, Chicago has the defense. So I'm not going to question that. I don't see their offense. I really see it between the Packers and the Eagles. I think Atlanta is way too young. I think what they've done is admirable. They have a young team, and they're going to be contending for a while, but they're not playoff tested. Chicago is going to falter, and all the other, you know, the bottom two teams. It's really the Packers or the Eagles this year.
And don't discount those New Orleans Saints. The team right now has won a 7 of their last 8 games. A team right now is getting healthy with Reggie Bush and Pierre Thomas back. And a team that went into Atlanta and got the victory Monday night. Don't discount that ball club with Drew Brees. That's a championship team. And today, as we speak, they are the champions. And don't discount them. And I know Willie Roque, when he comes on, he's going to talk about his New Orleans Saints, a team that he predicted to win the Super Bowl, actually. So
let me say this again, Paul. It's between the Packers and the Eagles. I'm not discounting
but I'm just telling you,
as the prognosticator, as Bay Area Yespe, let's keep it real, Bay Area Yespe knew it, and he got chastised for saying it. Another Bay Area Yespe.
But if we're talking about keeping it real, if you want to keep it real, we can keep it real if you want to do that. And talking about that prediction that you made that prediction game 6 when the San Francisco Giants were up 3-2. So if you want to be real, let's be real. And real telling me that you made that prediction when the San Francisco Giants were up 3-2. So let's be real. I mean, that's supposed to happen.
And the Lakers,
if you want to be real.
And the Lakers prognostication came early. The anointing of the Lakers was early. I'm not going to listen, Paul. I'm just telling you. New Orleans, like you said, yes, they're the technical champions of the league, but they're not. The playoffs is a whole different season. Got to erase the records and so on and so forth. But I don't see them this year anywhere near as sharp as they were last year.
Well, I mean, say what you will, but they've, like I said before, they've gotten healthy now. And right now they're a team that's playing well, won 7 of the last 8 games. They're a team that is getting ready and preparing themselves to go to the playoffs, and they're a hot team. They're a hot team, very hot team. So right now the Saints are looking good, but like I said before, my point is, out of those 5 teams, and excluding the NFC West entry, whoever it will be, St. Louis, Seattle, Atlanta, New Orleans, Chicago, Philadelphia, the Giants or the Packers, 1 and 2, because both of them can't make it. Those teams could legitimately go to the Super Bowl. Could legitimately happen. And the same deal in the AFC. Jets, The Patriots, the Jets, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Colts with Peyton Manning. Anybody got Peyton Manning, you got a chance. And the Chiefs, So, same deal in the AFC. 5 out of the 6 teams with the Patriots, the Jets.
There's three teams. In order of reality, it's the Colts because of Peyton and the veteran leadership on that team. Then there's the Patriots, and realistically, it's the Jets. I'm going to tell you something. When you find out a man's got a foot fetish, Paul, you really got to – now you have taken it to a new level.
Well, I mean, whatever record – I mean, we'll get to that. We'll definitely talk about that. But in talking about that, I mean, let's give kudos to Rex Ryan. He has been married to his wife for 23 years. It's not like he's going out with a –
keeping it fresh, baby. Keeping it real.
Or a woman on the – you know. Or not like he's having an affair or anything like that. So give him a lot of credit. Whether you like him, love him, hate him, or what have you, at least he's not out there doing it and carousing with other women. At least that's what we know of. I mean, so give him credit with that. But I also want to go back to the Eagles for 1 second now, real quickly. If there is an outside shot that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers couldn't make it to the playoffs, and if they do, what they need to do, they need the Giants to lose, they need the Packers to lose, and they need to beat the New Orleans Saints. If they do that, they can make the playoffs, and then the Eagles, instead of having to play the Giants or the Packers, could actually play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which would give them a great opportunity and will give them an easier game in that first round, instead of having to play the Packers or the Giants. 2 teams, the Packers beat the Eagles first game of the season. Granted, you got a lot of things have changed since then.
But
the Giants, those 2 games were 2 tough games, and if you look at it, the Eagles probably shouldn't have won the game last week.
Reality, though, I hate to say this, Paul. I know it seems unorthodox. The Giants don't really worry me as much, you know, as other teams do, mainly because you see so much of the Giants. Listen, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. They have a good offense, a very quick defense that matches up against our offense. But the Giants, to me, are just the Giants. Even when they won their Super Bowl, which was, I mean – you talk about what DeSean Jackson did. Winning that Super Bowl was the same, almost on the same kind of play. I mean, it was just 1 in a million years that'll happen. They're just not that scary to me.
Well, to me, I mean, they're obviously a team that's undisciplined because they turn the ball over a whole heck of a lot. I mean, 41 times, I believe the number was, and that leads the NFL. So if you turn the ball over 40-some-odd times, then Eli's throwing the ball around, and Amon Bradshaw's putting the ball on the floor week in, game out. And if you say it's obviously a team that is an undisciplined team. But with all that being said, it's a talented team. It's a team that has weapons on the offensive side of the ball, and that defensive, their front four is a very good front four as well. So talent-wise, they're a team that if everything works out for them, everything – comes together, they're a team that could make it to the Super Bowl, like I said before. Now, anybody that says they know who's going to go to the Super Bowl really doesn't know. I mean, this is very wide open. This is the NFL dream. This is the NFL's dream. I mean, you're in a situation now where you have parity like you wanted. You have a situation now where anybody could win the Super Bowl and anybody could make it to the Super Bowl. So this is the NFL's dream. Roger Goodell is so excited in the New York office. Has to be very excited about this. And all the TV executives have to be excited about this. So this is going to be a very, very good playoff. This is going to be a very, very interesting playoff. And this is going to be an exciting playoff. And the playoff that I'm very much looking forward to, because you don't know who will win. You just don't know. It is that wide open.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
Go ahead.
Well, I guess, Paul, the only question, though, I have is and I hate to say this because they're your team. I mean, we're going to call you New England Paul, and that is the Patriots.
NET is better. NET sounds good.
New England Paul. You know, I think they're the only team when you look at it that you can, I think, hang your hat on and say they're going, unless there is an unforeseen either injury to Brady or they just fall off the map, which doesn't look likely, they're going to be around in the last couple of games, either the AFC and or Super Bowl.
And that's a team that, granted, I was the one who picked the Cincinnati Bengals to go to the Super Bowl. How wrong was I on that? Very wrong. But that was a team that I said coming into this season, and you were a guy who was loving up on Rex Ryan, watching Hard Knocks week in and week out, getting yourself excited. And you were a guy that's just so excited and so enamored by Mark Sanchez. I should say the great Mark Sanchez, according to you. But the way I looked at it, I mean, Mark Sanchez will be the thing that will hold this team back. And also, Tom Brady is the best quarterback, is the best quarterback in football. And Tom Brady and Bill Belichick had a lot to prove this year. And anytime guys have something to prove, they're going to try to find a way to prove it. And those guys are proving it week in, week out. Those guys are doing their thing. I mean, Tom Brady, 300-plus passes without an interception. I mean, a guy, those are like college quarterback-type numbers. You see guys coming out of college with those type of numbers that Tom Brady has this year. I mean, his numbers is off the charts. They're definitely off the charts. They're not even on the charts. They are off the chart. I mean, you're talking about a guy with 34 touchdowns and only 4 interceptions.
Yeah, well, we saw that, my friend, it's
unbelievable.
We saw it last year with Brett Favre. You know, look, it's
33-7. Yes,
I mean, Paul, he had a great year. Brady is what he's doing is I will admit it is absolutely remarkable. I've been saying it all year. New England is talentless. Other than Brady, there's no talent on that offense.
I mean, they brought Deion Branch back. Wes Walker.
Come on, man.
He's a legitimate wideout.
He's not
a 100-catch receiver.
Legitimate.
100-catch receiver.
Paul, he's not a receiver. He's a running back. He catches a ball 3 yards off the field. I mean, Terrell Owens is a wide receiver. Terrell Owens is a man. Wes Welker is a high school football star.
Oh, come on.
He catches 4 yards out.
Come on. Wes Welker is a high school football star?
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of a high school football star. He catches 4 yards out, Paul.
Oh, please. 86 receptions this year. 884 yards, 7 touchdowns.
At 4 yards a catch. I mean, he's not. You want to see a man look at Terrell Owens.
Well, okay.
You want to see a wide receiver?
Let's, let's look at this little boy, this high school boy that you're referring to, Wes Welker. 2007, 112 receptions, 1,175 yards, go along with 8 touchdowns. 2008, 111 catches this time, 1,165, 3 touchdowns.
Wait, 2009, this is a... He's catching a ball.
2009. This is a high school kid we're talking about, I guess, as you referred to. Wes Welker, 123 receptions.
He's a football star.
Over 1,300 yards, 4 touchdowns. High school football player.
Paul, he catches a 4 or 5 yard out and scampers 4 or 5 yards. He's getting about 9, 10 yards.
Football player, and you know, I don't have a calculator in front of me, but 112, 111, and 123, on average, I'm going to just throw it off the top of my head. You talk about 115, 116 receptions in the past 3 years. That's the average per season, 115 to 117 receptions per year. High school player, right?
Not a player, high school football. Not a player, Paul. I sound like Allen Iverson. Well, not a player. A star. He's a high school football star. He's catching a 4 to 5 yard out, and he's running 3 to 4. He's getting about 8, 9 yards per carry based on all your numbers cumulatively over his career. Paul, he's a good player. I don't debate that. But there's
2007, 112. 2008, 111. 2009, 143. 1,165.
What's his average catch? And you know what? Let me go back to the days when I ruled
average
Madden.
Average per catch, 10.5 yards in 2007, 10.5 in 2008, and 11.0 in 2009.
Right. And he's catching a 4 or 5 yard out, one of 4 or 5 yards. I'm just telling you, Paul, if you want to see a real wide receiver, you want to see a man, you look at Terrell. What did I tell you in the preseason about Terrell Owens, and you told me I was crazy? I said he was going to statistically have one of the best years of his career. He's going to catch 70-plus balls, and look at what he did. And
okay,
he hasn't played in 2 games.
Okay, I just did the math. The last 3 seasons for Wes Welker, an average of 115 receptions per season over the last 3 years. Off the charts. And that's a high school football player.
Star, a football star. Don't get it twisted.
Star, excuse me. And that's a high school football star.
Star.
You sure about that?
He's a star. Well, he's Al Bundy.
You're star.
No, I'm calling him Al Bundy. Paul, he ain't playing on my team. Listen, when you put Randy Moss on with him for the last 3 years, those are the kind of numbers you're going to get when you play with Randy Moss.
Okay. Do you want to talk about your boy, T.O.? I mean, I like Terrell Owens just like the next man. But you want to talk about your boy, T.O., the man, I guess you want to refer to him as a man. Let's look at T.O. the last 3 years. 85 catches, 81 catches. Excuse me, 2007, 81 catches. 2008, 69 catches. 2009, 55 catches. So that on average is, you're talking 15, 19, 206. You're talking about on average You're literally talking on average of 70-some-odd balls the past 3 years.
But to man, how many?
In comparison to 115 receptions by Wes Welker, 1355 in 2007. 1052 in 2008, and only 829 in 2009.
He's a man.
Granted, I'll give you for the Buffalo Bills in 2009. But
Terrell Owens, that's a man. That's a real man.
Well, okay. Okay.
Terrell Owens is a man.
All right. Man. Congratulations.
He can turn ten into 100. He's a man.
Okay. How many Super Bowls? How many Super Bowls has your man won?
You know, he's still getting there, Paul. His career's not over.
How many Super Bowls has your man won?
Well, you know, my man is—he's still there. Last count, I think it was zero. But Al Bundy, you know, Al Bundy won the state championship four times, didn't he?
What about your man?
Well, you know, my man will be in the Hall of Fame, Paul. My man will be in the Hall of Fame. He'll be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to argue about that.
So, you know.
But don't sit here and call Wes Welker a high school wide receiver. That's a good start.
I mean, you're riding. You're NEP, New England Paul, you know, New England Paul.
I mean, it's just, you know, you're just...
NEP. You know me.
Please refer to me as NEP. Anyway, you want to chime on in about last night's Eagles game, or we're going to get to a few other things. Tucker Carlson, Fox News, call Michael Vick. Saying that Michael Vick should have been executed. We're going to get to that as well. Well, if you have your opinions, the number to call is 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. You can send email messages to the show at goforit.can@gmail.com. That's goforit.can@gmail.com. Last show of the year. And it's been a great, beautiful, wonderful year. Not for Brett Favre. It came down today. Brett Favre was fined $50,000 for essentially not cooperating with the league during their investigation. He was accused of sending alleged lewd photos and inappropriate messages to former Jets employee Jen Sturger. And again, $50,000 was the extent of his fine, and essentially it was for not cooperating because the league could not substantiate that the photos actually came from Brett Favre. But only $50,000, that's a lot of money.
$50,000
was the fine to Brett Favre. And in a lot of ways, this is a kind of a non-story to me. I don't think it's necessary. I mean, it happened 2 years ago, and why it takes so long for this to come to the forefront. Initially, I was saying to myself, maybe something should have been done to Brett Favre. But at this point, I mean, I don't know how and why this investigation took like 2 months. I mean, this investigation took a long time. And it comes down to this. Let's be honest. Roger Goodell was not going to be the guy to end the streak. He was not going to end the streak. There's no doubt about it. He wasn't going to do it. And so, in a lot of ways, this was a dollar and cent situation, because if you look at it, I mean, now Brett Favre could play next week his final farewell, and he goes out playing the game that he loves and playing the game that he's played very well for a very long time. So, with all that being said, 20 years, to be exact with Brett Favre. But with all that being said, I mean, granted, I don't think he should have got suspended, but if you look at it with the whole Michael Vick situation when he got suspended, part of the reason that the suspension was so harsh was because he wasn't honest with the commissioner. Well, so what do you call this whole situation with Brett Favre? He didn't cooperate with the commissioner. He didn't cooperate with the investigation. So what do you say about that? So what do you say about that?
I mean, you mean Don?
Is there a double standard here? I guess obviously.
But you mean the Don, though, right, Paul? The Don of the mafia. He's the Don.
Obviously, he's the Don. And, you know, dollars and cents, it comes down to that. I mean, the Minnesota is fighting to get a new stadium. So you want the Brett Favre on the field as many times as you can get him on the field. And also, I mean, let's be honest. Roger Goodell is not going to end the streak due to a suspension. He won't do it.
He's a smart Don. You know, he's not one of these guys that's out there. There are some that would have been stupid enough, but I think and you said it too. To fine him $50,000 is somewhat, it's difficult to comprehend how you're going to fine him $50,000. Yet so far, what this season, James Harrison has been fined what, like almost $200,000, and Favre's making $20 million in one season. I mean, it's so disproportionate. I think for a guy to be making $20 million and to fine him $50,000, what's the point of A, even fining him? If, and by the way, like, if you really wanted to do something to him, like you said, Paul, what you should have done, you know, was to say you're going to sit, you're suspended, you get a two-game ban, a one-game ban. They get banned what's his name, Roethlisberger, 4 games, a maximum of 6. This guy gets a monetary fine.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he should have been suspended at all. I mean, because, again, it had to happen 2 years ago. Again, I mean, a fine is fine with me in this particular situation. But it's kind of a double standard in a lot of ways. And it's a double standard because, obviously, Michael Vick was in trouble for not cooperating with the league. And now Brett Favre doesn't cooperate with the league, and that's one of the reasons for the fine.
I was hoping you were going to bring it up. I mean, and of course there's the, you know, people out there that are going to say, well, Michael Vick didn't cooperate with an FBI investigation and he killed dogs. But at the end of the line, you're right, Paul. I mean, it's clear the FBI chose not to investigate Brett Favre. The FBI chose to investigate Michael Vick, but
let's be honest, this is not an FBI matter. I mean, this is a situation where, if it had been the same,
Michael Vick would have still, definitively, Paul, you know, I can clearly say that to me, is there always going to be race profiling, and not just in the NFL, but in the world, certainly, and B, like you always say, the NFL is a what have you done for me lately, and a money league, and Brett Favre, arguably, in modern era, if not the history of the NFL, is arguably one of the most revered players. So clearly,
he
is making that league
player.
So much money.
Well, let's bring in the great Willie Rope. Willie, how are you, sir?
How you doing? How you doing, Paul and Jeremy?
Hey, Will, how are you?
Good. Well, I feel like this. I feel like the NFL had to do something. I just feel like if it was so much big of a deal with the whole Favre situation, I feel like it should have been addressed a couple of years ago. I think his situation and Favre's situation are totally different because of the fact you with Michael Vick and the dog fighting and the whole situation he had to deal with the law and everything that was going on. And I feel like the situation with Brett Favre is just a totally different situation. And it's kind of ridiculous. It's a mute point at this point, the last game, the last week of the season, you know, of his NFL career, and you find a man for something that happened a couple of years ago. I just don't even understand it.
I mean, but Willie, like, I see, especially from your perspective, a guy much like Brett Favre who had a Hall of Fame career, is this league, is it really out there to patronize and to show these players to a certain degree that, to me, it's almost like they really want to show the players that they're worthless, that they're valueless, that the league makes the player, that the player does not make the
Jeremy, I just think that they want you to understand that Brett Favre isn't bigger than the league. And, you know, at some points the last couple of years, Brett Favre, I think, has been bigger than the league to a certain point. What he's been able to do and coming and going when he pleases. And, you know, he's the only guy that's been able to do what he's done the last couple of years as far as him being overshadowed in the NFL and basically dictating when he's coming and when he's going. And
to me, I think this was the one chance the NFL was going to get, and they took it to show to stick it to Brett Favre on something that really, there was no, it was no substance, but it was, to me, it's almost when the NFL has a chance to kick one of these players, especially one of the great players, because it shows the guys that are coming up behind Brett Favre, behind Michael Vick, behind Ben Roethlisberger, that we don't care about you. We care about the league. Only cares about the league. You're here to service the league. You're not here for the league to service you.
Well, I think the media and her camp kind of forced this issue too, more Jeremy. I feel like the issue got forced by the repeated, "Well, I want you to do something. I want you to do something. You know, suspending him or do something." So I think the issue wasn't really about what the league was backed in the corner, because, you know, her lawyers and them have been saying, you know, that they want something done, so I think it's kind of forced upon it.
But I understand with Mike. Well, I use Brett Favre in a more macro sense. I'm bringing in other players. I just see this league, especially with Goodell, and since he's taken over, it started with Tagliabue, where they're really trying to make the player or the elite 10% of players get to a point where they make them subservient and not independent. They don't like to have athletes that, like you say, that are bigger than the league, even when – and Brett Favre was the only player in modern history. He was bigger than the game. The game cowed down to Brett Favre now 3-4 seasons in a row. And sure, this is supposedly Brett Favre's last season, but Willie, we've heard it now 5 years in a row. So, I mean, how do we know this is really his last year?
I mean, a couple of reasons. Because that young quarterback they got looks good. Nobody's going to be able to pay him the money he was making, even if he did try to come back. And he got beat up pretty good this year, Jeremy.
You're going to say it? You really think that unequivocally he's done?
Unequivocally he's done. Mentally and physically he was done. He got beat up. And really and truly he was done last year. That's why he didn't really want to come back this year. He was hurting last year from that NFC Championship game when the Saints got out to him, and he got beat up pretty good in that game, and he took a beating this year.
Did he come back? In your opinion, Willie, did he come back for the money?
I mean, it's hard. If they waved that carrot in front of you and going to pay a guy $1 million a week, I mean, come on, Jeremy.
I think that was a big. I'm glad you're honest.
My point is, I think he played so good last year, and they didn't know what was going on with Simeon Rice before he got there. I don't know if they really knew if Rice was going to be out, the receivers was going to be out. But he played so great last year, they were basically bringing back the same core guys. I mean, in his mind, he felt like, you know, he could go out there and play good again because he played great last year. But everything kind of fell apart. The defense, I mean, we know they had guys on the defense that didn't show up this year. You know, they got off to a rough start offensively. I feel like he wasn't fully committed to come back this year mentally. So I don't think he was there mentally this year. And when all this stuff started happening, he really wasn't there.
And I agree, I think it did come down. I mean, like you said, if somebody waved that kind of money in your face, it's kind of hard to say no, and especially coming off the year that he had. So, I mean, you understand why Brett Favre did what he did. But in terms of the way he played this year, it seemed to lack the passion, like Willie said, and the focus that he had the year before.
Well, but I guess this is also, you know, for discussion. Do you think, Willie and Paul, do you think Favre literally thought this year that he wasn't if you look at the way he practiced the prior year, the way he came in, and there was a sense of urgency, but this year it was almost like, you know, he sat around and waited. He was injured. He was healthy. Was he injured? Was he healthy? They flew down. They get him. He comes up, and it was almost like this year for him not to play, they weren't going to win the Super Bowl, instead of it being, well, they almost won the Super Bowl, and they should have something to prove. It was like when he came into the camp, they were anointed, the champs of the league.
Well, I think this started the first week. I mean, when they went to New Orleans and looked like they weren't ready to play, and then it was like they were playing catch up, and then the receiver's out, and they're trying to get a receiver in there, and now we have issues on the defensive side of the ball where we're not getting to the quarterback, and we're not containing teams, and I just think it was a microcosm of everything that was going on, and now we have the issue when we get Randy Moss in there, and Randy Moss doesn't want to be there after a couple of weeks. Do we have the issue with Brad Childress and who's running the team? I just think they had a lot of issues last year, but it got overshadowed because they were winning football games and Brett was playing great, so nobody really paid attention to it. And this year, all the issues they had probably last year, even on the winning team, just came to a head, and they got caught up with everything that was going on with the season, and they weren't winning. So when you're not winning, everything that is a problem that probably already was a problem is going to be magnified more so. So, I mean, that's basically what happened, and it turned into a really terrible year for Brett Favre, maybe the worst probably year of his career, and personally, and now he's got to deal with these issues off the field that aren't going to go away when he goes back home now. I mean, it's hard enough when you have to deal with this, and now you have to, just like the Tiger Woods situation, your significant other has to listen to this by people every day and hear it on the TV every time she turns on the game and see them every week. I mean, who wants to hear that?
And then that's definitely going to be a tough situation. But all that being said, maybe Brett Favre returns. I mean, no one wants to go home to a woman who is not too happy. That's not really a happy home and not a happy situation. So maybe that'll bring Brett Favre back for a 21st season.
No, I think. Brett took a big Brett. He didn't make it through this season. I mean, he got shot up. You think about it, he's got shot. He's been getting shot up in his foot, shots in his elbow. The concussion. I mean, his body. Even if he tried, it's gonna take. I'm gonna tell you what. At 41 years old, he's gonna be hurting for a pretty long time. If he thought he was hurting after last year, he's going to be hurting Paul and Jeremy after walking away this year. I'm going to tell you, he's going to be feeling it for a long time.
Well, I can tell you, when you saw his body laying on the ground when he got that concussion, I think that was when I literally saw and I thought to myself, for the first time in a long time, that was a guy who was done. Him laying on the ground right there, you said it, I think, Willie, probably, it's true. His body, this year, I think, probably took 5 years off his life.
I would hope it did. Remember his hand, when they showed his hand a couple weeks ago, his whole hand was purple. I mean, and they had a Monday night game. And Jeremy, he even tried to play the next week. I mean, just for him to try to go out there and play in those conditions on that frozen football field. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. He's a tough SOB. Because, I mean, for him to try to go out and play in those conditions with his arm like that and everything he's been through. I mean, this guy really loves playing football. I mean, he showed a lot of heart by going out there.
But he shouldn't have gone out there. You articulated it very well 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago on the show, and you had mentioned, even for you, when you were playing, how much, the toward all the shots, you were moving from one leg to the other because it was black and blue, and like you say, you see this guy, and you're just thinking to yourself, there's no way that he can't be, he had to be in pain then.
Jeremy, I think he's been is playing through this stuff to play so many 321 consecutive games with playoffs, 296, 97, whatever regular season games. So I mean, in his mind, he thought he indestructible. I mean, I've made it through all these other years, and I think part of his process the last 3 years was I'm going to go home. I'm going to get totally away from football. I'm going to come into training camp late, and I'm going to force my way to make it through the season. Well, it finally caught up with him, and his body would not force him, even though he tried to force his way through this season with the broke, cracked foot and all that other stuff going on. I mean, he tried to force himself through it this year, but I think he knew after last year his body wasn't going to be able to make it through it. Because remember early in the year he was talking about, well, maybe I might not make it through this year, and I had to sit down a couple games. Because, I mean, this guy, he's been forcing himself through whatever he's been doing. You know, who knows how many torn-off shots and quarters on whatever he's been getting every week. See, that's what we don't know about McNabb. You know, and when the guy can't practice and he's been getting shot up a lot, you know, that was going on in Philly. But like you said, Jeremy, the average fan doesn't know everything these guys are taking every week to play football. So they don't really understand. But Shanahan and them probably feel like they got used goods when he got to Washington.
And let's talk about McNabb. He has been benched for the season, according to his agent, Fletcher Smith. Donovan's really having problems getting along with both the Shanahans, but mainly Kyle Shanahan. And there was talks that the agent was saying that the coaches were leaking information about his weight, saying he's overweight, out of shape, and him not grasping the offense. So what do you make of this whole Donovan McNabb situation, Willie?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot more to it. I think Donovan Nair's been probably, you know, he had the foot situation. He's been banged up. See, what happens is you get in the season, you know, he gets a little banged up. He can't practice all the time, so you're not getting all the reps you're getting, and he's not well. And then Donovan Nair was challenging them, saying that they didn't have enough audibles and stuff in the system, you know, like he had in Philadelphia. So I just think it's just a it's a discrepancy in the way I think they were having some problems with the way Donovan wanted to audible and do stuff that he was used to doing and what they were doing in Washington. And I think he probably voiced it to Shanahan's son, the coordinator, doing some of those meetings to ask him, can he do more things? And they wanted him to do it the way they wanted to do it. And I think that's where the problem came in. And I think what Shanahan has to understand is, you know, he was in Denver coaching in Mile High all those years, and yes, he could get away with a lot of stuff when he did with players and stuff because he was winning and got two Super Bowl rings. Well, he's in Washington, D.C. now, and he's not in Denver anymore, and he's starting over too. So he's going to have to conduct himself in a manner where he treats more of the players with respect, especially a guy like Donovan McNabb, who's even though maybe he is banged up and didn't do as well as he should have this year or couldn't do it, he's going to treat the man with a little more respect and handle himself as the head coach this starting over and has something to prove again.
And Donovan, I think he has been very disrespected throughout the year. He got the Detroit game.
Oh,
he
Paul, please stop.
But I will say this. Donovan has not had a great year. He hasn't played well. But I also think that's a byproduct of what's around him. There's not much around him. The offensive line is not that great, and the weapons that he has is not that great as well. But granted,
Will, you played for a GM in Carl Pearson who traded away Tony Gonzalez because in their mind he wasn't right for the team, trades away
that wasn't Peterson. He traded that happened when Scott Shanley and them got the other guys got in there from New England.
Well, it was done, and it was done with Peterson. They're getting rid of him. In this league, it gets back to what I said about how this league, the NFL, doesn't. It's not disrespectful. It is a business. They have to control players.
It is a business. But the way they treat a guy. I mean, you can treat a guy who's done so much for the league and a guy with the pedigree of McNabb a little better than the way he was treated this year. You can treat him a little better.
The problem I have with it is if you bring the guy in yourself, it would be different if Shanahan had gotten to Washington and McNabb had been there for a year and was with the other coach, and then he was coming in and he was. you know, already there. But he brought him in. I mean, the problem I have with it is you brought him in here, and now you're throwing him under the bus. I mean, you can't throw a guy under the bus that you bring in. If you bring him in, you got to ride with him. Now, if the guy isn't what you thought he was going to be, and he's not playing well, then just come out and say the guy is playing well, and you're going in another direction. Don't use all these excuses.
Well, I agree with you on that. I do. I think you're 100% right too. I think what Shanahan did was it was small as Shanahan, but I go back. I think the only, and I've said this to Paul, the only way there was disrespect was exactly how you say it. That Shanahan handpicked McNabb. That all he had to say was I was wrong, and in fact Shanahan never said it. His son was trying to allude to it, but Shanahan himself never admitted that they were wrong in trading for McNabb. What they thought they were getting was not what they got, and if anything, it does lend credence to one of the things that Paul and I bring up from time to time, which is McNabb's former coach Andy Reid seemingly knows when to drop players.
He does, and he does a great job of knowing when to drop in. Another thing about Vic, they've got to protect. I mean, now it's playoff time, so now what you see from the Saints is these coordinators are stepping it up, and they're going to blitz Michael Vic and make him throw the ball. And I mean, they did. I mean, their coach was on the staff up there, and the blitz packages they threw it at Andy Reid, they did not pick him up, and they weren't ready to pick him up. I mean, anytime this guy gets hit that many times, and you sack him 5 or 6 times, it's gonna be hard to win the game against anybody because he can't take that many shots. I mean, he's not that big a guy, and he can't take that many shots. And they did a great job yesterday, but like Jeremy's saying, I mean, if Don McNabb wasn't what you thought he was going to be, either let the guy go out there and play and finish off the year, and then let things let him fall into place. But I think the problem with McNabb was it was ownership versus the coach. I think the owner wanted to keep McNabb, and the coach Shanahan didn't want to keep him for next year, and I think that's why Shanahan was voicing his opinion about Donovan, because he was ready to go in another direction, which the owner wasn't, and the owner's out the country, and basically he said, I'm the coach, so I'm going to do what I want to do. And I think that's where you have management that has their opinion about things, and then you have the coach and the GM having their opinion about things. So, you know, that's where things kind of get messed up sometimes.
And it's obviously Shanahan it's obvious that it's going to be a divorce at the end of the season. And McNabb is going to go his separate way, and the Redskins are going to go in a different direction. And speaking of going in a different direction, this Sunday, the 49ers are fired their coach, Mike Singletary, after the loss against the Rams and after the team was officially eliminated from the playoffs. But Singletary had some shouting matches throughout the season with his quarterbacks, Alex and Troy Smith. What's your thoughts overall on the Mike Singletary firing?
You know, I think Singletary has been a very good coach in this league and done a great job. I just think that as a head coach, you have to change your demeanor. You have to be in control at all times, composed. You can't have too many highs and too many lows. He's a head coach now. And I know Singletary was a great football player, had that fiery attitude and all that, but as a head coach, you can't carry yourself and be yelling and talking to players like that on the sideline. I mean, if you're going to do that, you're going to do that behind closed doors, and you really can't do that, you know, a lot behind you. If you're going to do it, you do it in the meeting room if you have a discussion with somebody. But you can't voice your opinion and do that type of stuff and upstage players on the sideline, not in this league nowadays. So I just feel like that, you know, when he looks back on it, he'll say, you know, that's just his personality. And if that's the personality, maybe it's better if he stays a coordinator. But you can't upstage players and do that to them consistently on the sideline with guys. That's not going to work.
And how would you react to that, Willie, if that happened to you?
Well, I mean, you got to be able to have another coach that you have that can talk to the guys and tell them, the coordinator, talk to them and be able to. I mean, that's the coordinator's position, to talk to the guys when they come to the sidelines. You got an O&D coordinator to go over there and talk to the guys and make sure they get them straight. If the guy's not playing good, or just take the guy out of the game if he's not playing good. But, you know, if you're the head coach, you still coaching the game. You can't go over there and just, you know, get in the guy's face and do this with a player during the game. I mean, it's just. Not repeatedly. I mean, it's not going. It's not. You're not going to be able to do. You know, your demeanor has to be under control. You know, controlling the game. You know, if you have something to say, say it, and then you got to go home.
Right. Definitely. And Willie, this week your Saints team you predicted to repeat as the Super Bowl champs. They went into Atlanta and they got the victory there. They won 7 of their last 8 games. They're now 11-4. At this point, Willie, is your Super Bowl prediction looking good for the New Orleans Saints? Are they the team to beat?
I think right now, with the confidence and with them wearing the belt, they're the team to beat. The only problem I see is, I know in the first round they're going to have to play either St. Louis or Seattle, probably St. Louis, and then they're going to have to go back to Atlanta. And this is the problem I got with the Saints. They're going to have to start running. Reggie Bush has been a non-factor. Sean Payton's done a great job, but Reggie Bush has been a non-factor this year. They had the backup running back playing good. Pierre Thomas did a little bit last week, but the same thing with New Orleans. If, when Drew Brees has thrown 19 picks, if I slow down the running game and I make Drew Brees do everything, eventually he's going to turn the ball over. And I'm going to do the same thing that they did last week. And then the only problem was Greg Williams had the D coordinator with the Saints defense did a better job against Atlanta. But Drew Brees threw another pick six to a D tackle, and he almost threw two because Abraham tapped it up and picked it off, but he tackled him. But if I put out, if they're not going to run the ball, and Drew Brees is going to do everything, he's going to make some mistakes, and that's what teams are doing to these quarterbacks, to these offenses that don't run the ball. And I see them, you know, if they don't correct that and run the ball some and take the ball away, don't let Drew Brees do everything, that they're going to have some problems because they're going to go back to Atlanta again in the second round if Atlanta beats Carolina, which it looks like they should do.
And to your point, Drew Brees does have 21 interceptions for the season. And like you said, if he is forced to throw the ball and they stop their running game, it could be a problem for the New Orleans Saints. But if you, really, we said this earlier in the show. If you look at the NFC, other than the NFC West team, the 5 teams, the Eagles, who will be in the playoffs, the Saints, the Falcons, the Packers, or the Giants. If you look at all these teams right now, and the Chicago Bears, I forgot them. If you look at those five teams have a legitimate shot to make it to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be very wide open in these playoffs.
It's going to be wide open, and it's going to be very interesting to see. And I think that fares well for the Saints. If the Saints can, if they play in the dome in St. Louis, and then they go play in the dome in Atlanta, that's going to fare well for them because they're going to play in a similar environment that they used to playing in, and they don't go outside to play in the cold weather. Now, Philly's going to have to go and play. They're going to be a wild card, right? They're going to have to play in the first round. Keeping those guys off them and picking up those blitz packages that they're going to be throwing at these teams because they're going to look at them. Also, Paul, if you want to look at the coach of the year, I'd have to say it goes to my old team, the Kansas City Chiefs, Todd Haley. You turn the team, what did they win, 4 or 5 games last year? And what are they, 10-5, 8-0 at home this year?
10-5 right now.
10-5, got 3 Pro Bowlers. Got my boy Brian Waters I played with this 5th Pro Bowl. Dwayne Bro had a big breakout year. And the Charles, the running back, made the Pro Bowl. So I'd have to say the coach of the year. I like Brian Billick with what the defense, the way the defense, the young defense has played later in the season, and letting Randy Moss go, as well as they've been able to play. Brian Billick is the coaching job he does is great every year, but I'd have to say the coach of the year is Todd Haley.
What about Raheem Morris in Tampa? A team that they're in position to make the playoffs. They probably won't make the playoffs. They need pretty much a miracle in a lot of ways. But he's a guy that definitely should get some mention as well. And I think Andy Reid, too, a team that no one expected to be in the position that they're in at this point.
Yeah, I like both those teams, but I just look at the Chiefs and the games turned around between last year and this year. And I mean, they've had some games that they didn't play well. I mean, I'll be honest about that too, which a lot of teams don't. You know, the problem is with the Chiefs, like with the worst game I played this year was the game when they came up and played the Chargers. I understand it was about 85, 90 degrees, but, they didn't show up for that game. And if you're going to be a playoff team and competitive, you got to show up and play every week. And, they've had some games they didn't show up. But, I mean, if you got to go to Kansas City at home, which it looks like somebody's going to do, they play great at home, and there ain't no in their head. So they got a lot of confidence going into the playoffs and especially playing at home, to which they will be able to get a first-round game this year.
Right. And, Willie, speaking of one of the teams, the New York Jets, they're involved in this playoff race. And you had the situation with Rex Ryan. You had the video that surfaced of a woman who looks like Rex Ryan's wife, Michelle, and a man who sounds like Rex Ryan in the background talking about...
I think Willie's coughing, Paul. Give him a second here. He's coughing.
His wife was 23. Give him credit. His wife was 23 years. He was allegedly videotaping her feet. It isn't really that big of a deal, Willie, because...
I don't think it's that big of a deal because it wasn't anything but him taping her feet. It wasn't anything else on the video. So, I mean, if you have a woman, she's sitting, obviously she looks like she's sitting in the car parked and, maybe she's getting, it looks like she was getting a tan on her feet. Maybe she was getting her feet tanned, feet tanning or something. I don't know, but. They're outside in the public, so obviously nothing too, foot fetish she could have been going on other than seeing nice-looking feet getting a tan.
Isn't this, Willie, like you were saying earlier, though, Willie, that this the media and this league, it's kind of like a sick love affair where they're looking for anything to stick their teeth into, where a lot of times, I mean, really does is that news or doesn't that kind of cross the line?
I think it could cross the line, but where did the video come from? Why is the video out there? I mean, who put this video out there anyway?
Well, listen, I can't talk right to people, and I don't think you should either, and I don't disagree. I think you when you live in this society where you recognize, this Deadspin has killed more people. They are like the biggest mass murderer to fame and fortune that ever was. So while you put yourself on the video, I've been saying for an entire year now on these airways, to anyone that wants to listen to me, if you have a cell phone, don't text. You get yourself one of them analog phones. Leave no voicemails. Don't do it. It's going to kill you. It's not worth it.
Well, what are you going to do, man?
Do what you want to do in the hotel room.
Hey, Jim, if you're not going to text and leave any voicemails, then what are you going to do? Because that's what everybody does every day.
You know what you're going to do? You're going to say it. You're going to say it once, and that's why the Lord gave us all a memory, because he wants you to remember it. He doesn't want you to don't tweet it. Don't Facebook it. Don't put it on your LinkedIn. Just keep it in your memory bank. My mom taught me about my memory bank. She told me if you want to know what Santa Claus is going to put for you under the Christmas tree, close your eyes.
I mean,
Aren't we doing that right now? We're blogging. We're doing that now. We're blogging. We're doing some of the stuff you're talking about right now.
In a lot of ways, we are. True. I mean, it's not, to me, it's not that big of a deal with Rex Ryan, that whole situation. It is his wife. It's not like it's a hooker. It's not like it's a stripper. It's not like it's an affair.
It's not like it's an employee of the Jets either.
Right.
No.
I mean, this is his wife, and you know, if he likes her dogs, then he likes her dogs. You know, and if he wants to videotape her dogs, he can videotape.
Yeah,
her
I mean,
dogs.
It's not like it. Yeah, that's my. It's not a big deal, but there's nothing inappropriate about the video. It's not. You know, come on.
I mean, it's really we brought it up, but it's really not a story to me, but. I mean, a lot of people were talking about it. It kind of was funny, but, I mean, like, Rex should take Jeremy's advice. I mean, if you're going to videotape, make sure you do something that no one will get it. If you're going to text, don't text. If you're going to do voicemails, don't leave voicemails. You can leave voicemails and text for your wife, but if you're doing dirt, anybody who's doing dirt and cheating on a woman or cheating on a man, don't leave voicemails, text messages, or photos. I mean, just be careful.
Exactly. I agree with that.
It's like a PSA. It's like a PSA on the New Year's edition, Willie.
But
don't click it.
But if you are cheating on your wife and doing all those things, I kind of hope you get caught. But anyway.
Because they are saving them. I mean, you can say that stuff on your phone and they can go back for a year and tell you exactly what you said and what you texted or tweeted, whatever, for a year earlier. Oh, they have the evidence, and they will save it.
And then, Willie, after last night, Michael Vick, after his performance last night, is there really any question of who the MVP is?
I don't think it is. And to be honest with you, I thought – you know, he would have had to play great, but he missed 4 or 5 games this year. And after last night, Tom Brady's just been playing out of his mind. And Tom Brady was playing good, but it seems like after the win after the Randy Moss trade, he played better. And that's what was so incredible is that Deion Branch was the only kind of deep threat on the team, but. The way he spreads the ball around the field, the way they use Woodhead is excellent. And I just think right now, going into the playoffs, the difference between Philly and them is, which I didn't mention the last time, is that offensive line for Brady gives them all day. Those guys are undersized, but they do a great job. I mean, the way they work together, that offensive line for the Patriots is way underrated. I know they had that great run a couple of years ago and got demolished, in the Super Bowl against the Giants. But I think Matt Light, he gets beat some, but he's got great footwork, great hands. You know, I feel like he's one of the better left tackles in the league. And I think that offensive line as a whole is up there, is one of the top units in the NFL. I mean, that unit plays well together, and Woodhead, they give guys running lanes, and they do a great job protecting the quarterback. So my hat's off to the offensive line and the tight ends for the Patriots. I think they do a great job working together up there.
And, Willie, you know offensive line, so if you're saying that offensive line is playing well and they're doing their job, then they're obviously playing well and definitely doing their job. Real quickly, Willie, the San Diego Chargers, that whole situation, they won't make the playoffs. I mean, that was an ultra-talented team. I know you had the situation with Vincent Jackson and Marcus McNeil and that whole holdout situation with the GM and everything. But if you look, and they actually weren't holding out, they were restricted free agents. But if you look at the Chargers situation, how disappointing is it that they are not going to be making the playoffs?
It's very disappointing because eventually they bought McNeil in and signed them to a 5-year deal, I think. They bought him in at the end. But Vincent Jackson is the one that's disappointing because if you had had him all year, I'm pretty sure they would have had a couple more wins. And And so he had to get in late, and he was going to have to sit out, what, three games because of the DWI was the incident that happened to him last year. So,
right.
You know, he was already going to have to sit out three games for you. So if you had him all throughout the year, you would have had him for 13 of the games this year. So I think if they have Vincent Jackson and him in the line coming back after that three-game absence, I feel like they would have won a couple more games. I really do. And I think that hurt Phillip Rivers, and that hurt that continuity that he's going to get with those guys. Those other young guys are pretty good players, but I remember early in the year they had some games where they dropped a lot of balls, and I just feel like if Vincent Jackson was in the lineup for them with the spread the field, that would have made it a lot easier for them with Gates and those other guys to get open, and it would have helped them win some games.
Right. Willie, as always, it's been a pleasure talking to you, sir. It's been a pleasure talking to you throughout this year, and we definitely wish you a Merry Christmas and also a Happy New Year. And you got any big New Year's Eve plans, Willie?
No, Michelle and the kids are here right now, so maybe we might drive up to Palm Springs to get away for a day or two. I did go see the Miami Heat, and we don't ever talk about basketball, Paul. I'm a big basketball fan, and
we get to that right after the New Year.
When y'all want to get into basketball, I love basketball. LeBron James is playing great. When Wade couldn't play against Phoenix, they cruised by Phoenix, and LeBron has LA's number out here, and they say Kobe or LeBron. I mean, Kobe. I've seen Kobe score before he hit 81, some games where he hit 50, 60 in the third, by the end of the third, and he's a great scorer, but with him shooting 30 shots, they're not going to win games. And LeBron James, he just does it all. He gets everybody involved, and it's almost basketball time. So I'm going to head over to this Clipper game tonight and watch the Clippers and the Jazz tonight and see what Griffin can do with Paul Millsap and what's the big guy's name? Al Jefferson.
Okay, and Blake Griffin definitely has been off the charts this year. And every night there's a highlight with that guy. And
yes.
The Lakers right now, that's a team that's struggling. And I'll say this, you're right. When speaking of the playoffs, when the NBA playoffs come around, it's going to be it's wide open. I mean, East is wide open and the West is wide open. And that's going to make for a great NBA playoff, just like it's going to make for a great NFL playoff. So we definitely can talk some basketball in the new year.
Well, thanks, man. It's been great this year, and it's going to be a very interesting playoffs, and I'm just glad my Saints are still rolling along, and they're going to have to go back and meet Atlanta again. And, I remember the year we won that first playoff game. We had to play the Rams back-to-back weeks. You know, they had won the Super Bowl the year before, and we knocked them out the playoffs in 2000, and they ended up going back to the Super Bowl in 2001 and got beat by New England. That was Tom Brady's coming out party, and I think Tom Brady will be the MVP this year, and I still say Todd Haley with the big turnaround this year for the Chiefs. I think they've done a great job up there, and had some guys really step up this year. So it's going to be fun to watch and see what happens. We got another week until it starts.
Are you planning on traveling to any of these games? Maybe some Saints games in the playoffs?
If I get down there, I might have to go down there to a game. We still have the see what happens with me with the finalist list comes out, I think, the middle of January and for the Hall of Fame. So I'm still waiting on that, and we'll see what happens. But right, I'm going to be out here for a little while before I head down there. And Jeremy, don't be doing too much texting and tweeting. All these people, man. Don't get in no trouble, okay?
I guess Jeremy's having some problems with his microphone, but...
Oh, stop. So, you know, I'm not... You know what, Paul? We're... No, not at all. You know, this 2011, I'm looking at, I was trying to fit it in and we got off on these tangents. I'm looking at 2011. This is a big year for Willie. You know, I'm going to keep him on track because he's got to get his speech together. You know, he's going to have to get, you know, he's got to go out there and get tailored, get a suit. He's going to have to get ready, you know, get in front of people and talk about the memories. I'm not going to bring him down, Paul. I'm going to raise Willie up. You're trying to bring this man down. I'm going to push him up.
Well, yeah, so I, you know, and
it's hard for you. I'm going to tell you, stay away from Paul. I've known that man for 30 long years. He will get you into trouble.
Oh, okay, so you got some stories about Paul, so yeah, I'll have to mirror that. I'll have to come make it up to Philly and make sure you keep me in line
with
Paul.
I'm telling you, I'm going to pick you up. Paul puts on a good act. He tries to, he's out there, he tries to preach, but he likes to lower that bar way too low.
Okay.
I'm on the other hand, I'm telling you, we're going to study, you know, literature. We're going to get a good speech together. Paul's going to try to get you up on the podium talking about all that funny stuff. I'm going to steer you the right way.
Okay.
See, he's quiet. See how he's quiet now, Will? Because he doesn't want you. See, now the real Paul's having some microphone problems.
I'm perfectly fine. I'm perfectly fine.
Well, it's been great, guys, and I'm going to head over to this ball game and see what they're going to do and watch Paul mess up my old Louisiana Tech buddy and younger you Louisiana Tech guy, see what he can do tonight.
Will he have fun? And definitely have a joyous new year together. It was definitely a pleasure talking to you.
All right, thank you.
All right. Willie Rose, 11-time Pro Bowler, Hall of Fame semifinalist, and a guy right now in January, middle of January, he'll know in terms of whether he'll be a finalist or not. And it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Got about 10 minutes left in the show, and I want to talk about some of the I was going to get into Tucker Carlson, this whole situation with Michael Vick, and let me go there because I was going to go.
You know what, Paul? We can get into it. We can get into it real quick, but say this and say it honestly. I mean, 10 minutes is all I think we should spend on it because to glorify such an idiot, I think is worthless.
It's obviously an idiotic comment. I mean. Some of his quotes, Michael Vick killed dogs, and he did it in a heartless and cruel way. And I think personally, he should be executed for that. And I think, Tucker, by your comments, you should be executed. I mean, those are some stupid comments. I mean, you're a guy who also said in the same breath, you're a Christian, and you know that people make mistakes and all that. You believe in second chances, but you're basically equating a human life to a dog life. And if you're doing that, Tucker, you're sick. And then you got some issues, and for those comments, maybe you should be one that's being executed for ignorance and stupidity and just dumb. I mean, come on. I mean, and he made those comments piggybacking off Barack Obama, commending Jeffrey Lurie and the rest of the Eagle organization for giving Michael Vick a second chance. And to me, I mean, if you talk about America, this is a land of second chances and second opportunities. And what Michael Vick did was wrong, it was heinous, it was all those things. But at the end of the day, he served his time, and he paid his debt to society. And
we know it's a case of a guy, again, this is like week after week after week, you know, we've been having the reality TV women on, and this is another case of someone who's trying to get their ratings off of someone else's viewership. It's so easy to say Michael Vick is a bad person and needs to, you know, have this great punishment because of what he did. Because there, you know, it's just and to say something else outlandish as we, you know, he should be murdered. I mean, of course, it's going to draw the attention that you need, which is viewership and ratings.
I mean, we're talking about.
Yeah. And that's why I say I think to glorify him is exactly what we're paying him dividends. We're putting it out there, but of course you're trying to do it responsibly and make people aware that first of all, I've been a big proponent. I've told you over the summer I was disenchanted with Michael Vick, the person, and I still somewhat am disenchanted with Michael Vick, the person. But Michael Vick, during the season, during the NFL season, there's two Michael Vicks. There's Michael Vick, the person, and Michael Vick, the athlete. And period, point blank, this NFL season, Michael Vick, the athlete, you can't intertwine the two. He has, on the field, been an all-pro, arguably MVP candidate. Off the field, he's actually been a model citizen. He doesn't do anything or say anything during the season. Whatever he did over the summer, it was the off-season. I mean, technically, he didn't, as you and I would go back and forth, and you were ultimately right. He made a stupid decision, but he didn't do anything wrong. You can't fault a person for being stupid. They're stupid. But to a certain degree, I think society in general has to come to grips with the fact that he's an athlete. And so he has a dual persona, so to speak. There is Michael Vick the athlete and Michael Vick the person. You don't have to like Michael Vick the person, but Michael Vick the athlete arguably is the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the top two. So period, point blank, Michael Vick the athlete has nothing to do with Michael Vick the person.
And we do have to learn how to separate that. And again, to me, like I said before, the whole thing with Tucker Carlson and saying that Michael Vick should be educated. I mean, like you said, it's something that's going to catch headlines and grab your attention. But at the end of the day, it's stupid, it's dumb. In a lot of ways, irresponsible. And again, if you believe that talking to me, you should be the one that's executed. Because again, you can't equate a dog's life to a human life. And there is a difference. And if Michael Vick did those things to humans, then yeah, maybe he should be executed. But he did. He didn't do it. And this comments are just stupid, and I'm done talking about it. And again, we come to the end of the year, December 29th, a couple more days and years out, heading to 2011. Thank God for making it through this year, or coming close to making it through the year. Tomorrow's not promised. But we made it this far, and we're closing in on 2011. And 2010 ends. It's a great year, just like every year, as long as you're alive and above ground, every day and every year is a great year. And some of the big stories, of course, the Michael Vick situation, guy who spent time in prison now, a guy who's seemingly turned his life around, and a guy who's playing at a top-notch level. I'm speaking of decision, talking about LeBron James. LeBron James decided to take on national TV a special program. LeBron James decided to take his talent to South Beach to join Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. And that was a big story, and was an exciting time. You also had the situation with Brett Favre and his whole thing with the Jen Sturger thing, and then him very close to getting his team to the Super Bowl, and now him ending his career, he'll end his career in 2011, but him ending his career and hopefully ending his career. I mean, I don't want to see Brett Favre anymore. I'm a little tired of him and tired of his story, but also I have to pay homage to the guy because he's a guy, you know what, that has done big things and is a great, great football player and a Hall of Fame football player and a guy who has done big things in this league and got to give him a lot of credit. As much as you have the diva stuff and all the things where he just wants attention, being the attention whore that he is at times, you have to give the man credit for what he has done on the football field throughout his illustrious career. And also, you have the situation there. You have the situation with the New Orleans Saints, all the things with Katrina and all that situation. Them finding a way to beat the Indianapolis Colts in the Super Bowl and bringing the championship to New Orleans. I mean, that's definitely another big story in 2010. Any other big things in 2010 for you, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, you know, Paul, we had a this 2010. You know, we had a new beginning, a genesis, if you will.
Well, yes, that is a new beginning.
You know,
speaking of Genesis, I mean, the Go For It show on blogtalkradio.com. Twice again. I mean, it got started in March of 2010. It's about 7 months in the game, and we're working our way through this particular year. And also, we're expecting big things for next year on Go For It, and hopefully have big guests, bigger guests, bigger opportunities and bigger talks, and hopefully a bigger and larger audience in 2011. And so, again, it's been a very exciting year and a very exciting time for all of us. And wish you and yours a happy, happy new year. And Jeremy, it's been a pleasure working with you throughout this 2010, and I look forward to doing it some more in 2011.
Well, I look forward to NYJ, baby.
New York Jets?
No, New York Jeremy.
Okay. We want to thank Willie Rowe for stopping by, the great Willie Rowe. And you can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/TGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/TGAN. And you can follow me on Twitter at Go4Tan. For Jeremy Espy, this is Paul Gann. See you later. Happy New Year. Have a happy New Year. See you in 2011. Bye.